Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
Jim, I've really enjoyed this discussion of Led Zepp.
Yeah, Patrick. I felt a whole lot of love in the room.
Agreed. Though we rambled on and there were some good times and bad times, overall it was pretty rock and roll.
We should do the next one down by the seaside.
Great idea. I'll make my custard pie.
Perfect. But let's do it after I get back. I'm going to California tomorrow.
Ah, yes. Over the hills and far away. Is it a night flight?
Yes, but I miss seeing the ocean.
You could walk on the stairway.
So this is Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Lenihan.
And I'm Patrick Foster.
And with us are...
I'm Kevin Spang.
And I'm Brad May.
Right. And we had Rob Gates with us earlier in the week, yeah. But he couldn't make it today.
Could not. Thanks, Rob.
All right. We've been counting down Led Zeppelin songs all this week as voted on by loyal listeners to this show and others. A few others.
A few others. Selected a couple folks that I work with in my music journalism day project. I think it was Padita, Brogan, Cody, and Nicole Kitchens.
Do you have their individual lists, Andy? All right, mm-hmm. So save that, because I want to ask a question about that a little bit later.
All righty.
But first, we're down to numbers 3, 2, and 1.
Mm-hmm.
So let's hear number 3.
Tour de force of bass playing by John Paul Jones on that song.
Yes.
Not
yes.
only
yes.
the
totally agree.
Beautiful descending intro, but the little notes he fires off, those little riffs in the chorus.
Yeah, amazing. It's amazing.
Yeah, really, really great.
I love that acoustic guitar as well. Like it's sort of furiously playing, mm-hmm. but yet comes off as really mellow.
Yeah.
It's strange.
Yes, I agree.
It's a really cool counterpoint.
I have this sense, and I may be totally wrong on this, that this song has sort of grown in stature over time.
Hmm.
Yeah, I don't think
maybe
it was
not.
One of the bigger songs when it came out. Do you guys?
Yeah,
I don't think so. I think I might tend to agree with you.
Mm-hmm. You were talking about the acoustic, and I think that one of the things it's interesting about this, and we've talked about Jimmy Page being this great guitar god and everything, he plays as much acoustic guitar on albums as anybody, if not more than anybody.
Yeah,
He's just an amazing guitar.
He's great on the acoustic guitar because you don't even think about it being acoustic sometimes.
Right.
It's almost like it's, I don't know.
I agree with you. Yeah, it's not like a big deal. Like, oh, I'm going to do this acoustic song now. It just fits in with the song. And the way he plays it, too, like you said, there's sort of an aggression to it, even. Yep. It fits in really well.
Yeah, he's my favorite guitar player
by far. Seems effortless, the way he plays.
He doesn't, like, always strum or pick like you think of an acoustic guitar. He's jamming on it like he's playing.
He plays
the
it like an old bluesman in some regard, mm-hmm. But
he can play in any style. He can do that. He's
just an
amazing guitar player. I love his sloppy lead playing, but I'll leave that for another talk, I suppose.
I know what you mean. you know, by that. And I think that's one of the great things about Jimmy Page is that he doesn't technically, he's not, you know, so, he's like Joe Satriani or somebody like that, who's like super fast and technical, or Eddie Van Halen, like famously dissed him, right? Yeah. You know, but yeah, he plays with a sloppiness that's so real, for lack of a better word. But
there's tremendous feeling in the way he plays, there you go.
Mm-hmm. That's what I mean more than anything. It's sort of a syncopation that's sort of like it's herky jerky, kind of
and the drums go with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The drums are herky jerky too, and they go with it. It seems like the whole thing works together.
Yeah.
And you know, I think for a major band to get all the way through these 15 songs and no one has really mentioned the lyrics that much.
Okay, yeah.
But
this is the opportunity.
This would be the one thing where you're like, well, the lyrics, I don't know what they're about a lot of the time.
This is one of those Lord of the Rings songs, isn't it?
Yeah.
And that's exactly my point here. It's the darkest depths of Mordor. It's like, man, you don't want to know the lyrics to these songs. It doesn't really matter. Because when you listen to them, you're like,
yeah, it's not that important.
What are you guys talking about?
Yeah. What's a bustle in a hedgerow? I've never had one of those. You know? But yeah, the Lord of the Rings thing, you know, Robert Plant was really in Wolverhampton in the Midlands of England. He loved going to Wales, and he had a farm there, like his country pile or whatever, and he would decompress from the road.
And they were all into that sort of mystical, weird.
You mentioned Rush earlier as being one of those ARO. They were the same way. They had those weird lyrics that were this weird.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yes.
I don't know why I brought that up.
Numerology
but it's
and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Occult.
So, so Justin Steiner put a comment on the Facebook group, said, part of why I love Ramble On is all the Hobbit shit.
Yeah.
This one, I think it's kind of weird, though. It feels a little out of place because this feels like sort of like that driving blues song kind of thing for it to come in. It doesn't, some of the other songs have more of a sound, like, you know, a little more of a proggy sound or that kind of thing, where you understand those lyrics a little bit more. This one, it seems to kind of come out of nowhere.
Yeah. You know, it reminds me at the beginning of this song. I was listening to it the other day while I was walking along in the snow. And at the start, it's almost going to be like it's Maggie May, because it's like, you know, the leaves are changing. It's late September. I guess I got to be rambling on, get back to school or whatever. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, what the heck, you know, is happening?
Part of the reason why I probably did not have a big Led Zeppelin obsession when I was younger, I mean, liked them well enough and heard their stuff on the radio and all, was I think to a large extent because of like that kind of mystical stuff. Yeah. I just couldn't connect with that. Yeah. It just wasn't what I was into. Yeah.
Right. The marijuana helps. It will help you get there.
That did help.
Yeah.
But I wasn't into that stuff either. And I was like what you said earlier is I didn't really care about the lyrics. I was enamored with the guitars and the drums.
It was all about
the
band and playing. Yeah. Like, you know, I mentioned I was in a band at this time. It was my very first band. And I was, you know, I was a kid. Led Zeppelin is huge to me because that's, you know, sort of like my introduction to playing music, and these guys are just a great band.
Right.
Yeah. And I didn't give a crap about the lyrics.
They could have sang about anything. Yeah. You were just more into the music part.
Yeah.
Yeah, it moved you physically. It really did.
Yeah.
And I got to say, Jim and Kevin, that I've seen Brad play the drums a lot. And, you know, when I first met him, Brad's a couple years younger than me. I think maybe going back to that Sheila comment, you younger people. It's really Brad. Right. He's a couple grades below us.
I really don't know what I'm talking about.
Man, he was like, that little skinny kid is the most badass drummer. Yeah. He can play just like John Bonham. You got to hear this kid. You're like, no way. But then he would get behind that drum kit and it would be super loud and powerful. Yeah, it was awesome.
That sounds great.
I want to see him play drums though.
Oh, he's a badass drummer.
Thanks, Patty. I appreciate that.
All right. We're going to have to hear that sometime. We'll do a demonstration.
Bobby Pavick's good, but Brad's really awesome, too.
Okay, let's move on here to number two.
Okay.
I like this song a lot, but I think it's actually in some ways kind of one of the weirder Led Zeppelin songs.
Aren't we staying with the Hobbit theme here?
With flowers in their hair.
All right, Misty Mountain. I love that song.
Yep.
But when I said it's kind of weird, because it seems like a song that shouldn't work. Like that kind of wooden delivery, that da na 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 na.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
Like it doesn't have that feeling that we talked about before. Now it does because that's not the whole song. There's other parts, so there's sort of a contrast there.
Right.
Yeah, the way it's woven together. Like
when you start to break it down, you're kind of like, this is a weird song, you know?
Even the down or down 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 down, down.
Yeah,
and then I love they that go. Riff.
They go into the parts where it's blah blah, goes right back into the down down down.
Yeah.
Like in a little break between, like you don't even expect.
It's, that's one of the coolest things about Zeppelin is when you know I think you were saying that Kevin they throw in those little change of paces or throw you off a little bit and then they come right back to that really tasty part right there, which is cool. This was my number one pick. This is my very favorite Led Zeppelin song. I'm glad that
great.
It made it so high. And it's all because of that experience I was telling you about when Jerry Richard lent me his Walkman cassette player and I had Led Zeppelin 4. I'll never forget that moment of like sitting down on my mom's living room floor and putting it on and listening to Misty Mountain Hop and being like, wow.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah,
I have a particular affinity for songs like this song from Zeppelin in that the bottom's drum beat is just kind of like straightforward and, you know, like trampled underfoot on physical graffiti.
Yeah.
Same
love
way.
That.
Love that
yeah,
one.
Yeah, that's an amazing tune. And yeah, I think, you know, in heaven, hopefully the crash cymbals all sound like this. That first cymbal he hits just seems to like echo forever and ever. And to me, this is one of the most coherent lyrical Led Zeppelin songs there is, because it actually seems to be about a thing that you can sort of identify with, where you're just like hanging out and being cool and peaceful and the cops come and take you away.
Well, you weren't being cool and peaceful. You were getting really wasted.
Breaking the law.
I don't know if it's on this song specifically. I'm not that much of an expert, but I do know that oftentimes they would record John Bonham's drums like in a castle, right? Like they had a mobile recording unit.
Yeah, I think a lot of this was recorded with the Rolling Stones mobile at Headley Grange.
A country house.
Right, and so they would set up the drums in like you know
in
this,
just one of the great rooms,
one of the
whatever.
Great rooms, right? Yeah. So the sound would reverberate around the room, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Again, the signature sound drums in a space that just sounds really good.
I can imagine he probably went through like 20 sets of drums, don't you think? Like he just beat them to the point that they just tore up.
All right, and of course, that's another song from Led Zeppelin 4.
Zeppelin 4, yes.
I think on the top 15.
Do we get a countdown here? How many came from there, Patrick?
One.
From Led Zeppelin 4? Yep, we certainly can.
Five.
Five songs, that is correct.
Five of the 15.
Five of the 15 are from Led Zeppelin
4. Five of the 15, and then the other songs on that album. So we did have we didn't have rock and roll, which kind of surprised
me. I'm still pissed about that. Yeah. Man.
It is not the number one song.
I'm not pissed about that. But
I'm pissed.
The number one song is not on.
I'm not upset about it either. But I'm kind of surprised.
Mm-hmm.
That was in my top five.
And Four Sticks was the only song on this album that did not receive any votes. There were a couple of votes for The Battle of Evermore, which is a really cool song, and it's got Sandy Denny singing with Robert Plant on that. It's amazing.
Before we get to the number one song on this survey, let's go around and talk about any songs that did not make the top 15 that you think should be on this list.
Mm-hmm. Happy to do that. I'll just jump in real quick and talk about my list. There's four here. So what did make it, you ask, Patrick? Well, I'll tell you, listeners, Misty Mountain Hop, it was my number one. That's been included. Going to California. As I had that, hey, what can I do? When the levee breaks and communication breakdown. So I actually got five out of my 10. What didn't make it? Out on the Tiles from Led Zeppelin 3.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Oh, man, the guitar riff on that is just so killer, the way it burrows behind Robert Plant singing and just leaves you hanging there for more. Custard Pie, to me, is like one of the quintessential Led Zeppelin songs. Yeah. Give me a piece of your custard pie. I mean, that thing's just a stomper.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I've got the Rain song, which I mentioned, is just, I think it's just so beautiful and lovely and so different. And the piano playing on that, I don't know if that's John Paul Jones or not, but there's a gorgeous piano solo in that, and then the whole coldness of my winter, and then the man, the orchestra swells up. It's just awesome.
That is one of my faves.
Yeah. And that's it. So, you know, my stuff is a mixture of, I think, kind of more popular Led Zeppelin songs and, you know, kind of hidden ones. Now, the other one I'll mention is That's the Way on Led Zeppelin 3. You know, to me, that's one of the most beautiful songs that they ever did and has ever been done. And I just love it's gorgeous. And also I had Down by the Seaside, which is a similar sounding kind of tune. Yeah, physical
that's
graffiti.
A sleeper.
Yeah, that's a great tune. All the little fishies in the sea, just kind of digging them. So that's what I had.
And Brad, what about you?
I'll tell you this much. When I think of Led Zeppelin, I think of them as a live band.
Okay.
So for the most part, when I was thinking about my list, I put it together as sort of what I think of them doing live. My list looks like this. Essentially, no quarter, because it's so amazing live, and the solo in that song is so incredible. Basically, the same thing for the... but anyhow, Since I've Been Loving You, and the solo in that is so amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Again, live.
And you actually brought up the Song Remains the Same version.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. The Song Remains the Same. Celebration Day, which is...
I love that song.
Which is, you know, on the record, it's not so good, but the live version, it's amazing.
Yeah.
And then, let's see, The Song Remains the Same. The song itself is an amazing one.
It is.
I love it. I love it. The Rain Song, like you said. Trampled Underfoot.
Mm, yeah.
That's a great one.
I put on my list In the Light, which is kind of an odd one, I suppose. But I've loved it.
Yeah.
And then Achilles' Last Stand, which is kind of a sleeper on the Presence.
Yeah, Presence. Yep. That's not one we really talked about, Presence. Band recovering from some really tragic stuff that had happened and sort of made that one a little different than everything else. Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, really, it's all about the band playing live for me. Hmm. That's what I really value. So Song Remains the Same, the album, to me is an amazing experience. And the ones that have the really great solos are the ones that I go to first.
Yeah. Just a couple songs I'm going to mention real quick. I mentioned before, What Is and Never Should Be, I think is a tremendous song.
Mm-hmm. That's a good one.
And another one, I think I'm the only one who voted for this song, if your tabulations are correct.
Okay.
Your Time Is Gonna Come.
I think you might be the only one who voted for that song.
On the debut album, mm-hmm. for whatever reason.
That's a good one.
It's a cool tune.
It has sort of a gospel flavor to it. And I find that when I listen to it, it's another one of those that I have it in my head for hours afterward, and in a good way. I mean, that is a good thing.
Yeah.
And I got to say, actually, I almost put it on my list, but I didn't. The Ocean, I just can't believe
that got
it didn't.
That got some votes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think every song on my list made it except my number one, which was Rock and Roll.
Right.
And
Fool in the Rain.
And Fool in the Rain.
Yep.
That's right.
That's right.
So I'm kind of a sucker for the, the big party song.
Yeah.
The song that you have a good time with, that bands that you saw in high school played and all of that kind of thing. And I just thought it was a great song. And I thought they did it when they did it live. I thought it was a great song. And I just think it's one of those, you know, this is just a rock song. And, mm-hmm. It's one of my favorites.
And I think that if we had Court Jar play Kevin's list right here, this would be an awesome 10
seconds.
And it would end perfectly, too. Wouldn't that?
Yeah.
That would be great.
So I'm surprised. How many votes did Rock and Roll get?
Let's check. I am very surprised that this did not make it.
I think if this had been done...
It is a little bit surprising.
At a different time, that would have been on there.
We got 6 votes.
Okay. Uh-huh. So here's what I'll say about that song, also off Led Zeppelin 4. I mean, I didn't... This... It's kind of like Stairway to Heaven to me. I think I've heard it too much.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yes. I get it. Yes. I get that.
And mm-hmm. I think that's what it is. But I will say, as far as just, it's called rock and roll, as far as just a flat out, you know, classic rock song
yeah.
It's about as good as it gets.
It's a pretty straightforward
from
blues
beginning
riff.
To end.
Yeah.
And
they all play.
You can barely take a breath in that song.
It's great guitars. It's great drumming. It's great bass. I like the singing. I mean, to me, it's just, you know, it's a great song.
I would not. That comes on in the car and you crank that.
Yeah, you do crank it.
Yes.
And that's in a group of songs that, you know, just missed by a couple votes, you know, along with Dire Maker.
Another good one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No Quarter. The Rain Song. Fool in the Rain was kind of right around there. Dancing Days. Another tune off Houses of the Holy.
So let me tell you about Dancing Days real quick. You ever hear a band cover a song and it kind of ruins the song?
Yes.
For, it even kind of ruins the original in some way. That's my problem with Dancing Days.
Okay.
I like that song a lot, but Stone Temple Pilots covered it.
Oh.
And, you know, they were a fine band, but what they, in particular, what they did in the cover song is there's the, that part that goes, they like accentuated that. They made it like this super accentuated part of the song. So now when I hear the original, I hear that, and it's awful.
Yeah.
It's awful. So
darn you, Stone Temple.
Yeah, they ruined music for me.
Yes. Stephen Routledge wrote on the Facebook, he picked Rock and Roll as his number one, which is funny because he has Achilles' Last Stand number two. That's quite a contrast, right?
Yeah.
But anyway, Rock and Roll number one, and then he said, it has to be number one, first for the intro on the drums, and the song does exactly what it says. Rock and roll.
Yeah. Take some chutzpah to write a song called Rock and Roll and pull it off. I think Lou Reed and Jimmy Page and Robert Plant are the only ones, you know, that really got it done.
All right, let's get to the number one. Are we ready?
I think everyone's going to be surprised.
I'm not that surprised.
Okay.
All right. Immigrant song.
That's your
number one.
That's the number one. It is not Led Zeppelin's Stairway to Heaven. It is Led Zeppelin's Immigrant Song.
Okay, and you're surprised by this?
Yeah, I guess I just didn't think it was kind of a, you know, a major piece. I always thought, well, yeah, it's the first song on Led Zeppelin 3, which is my favorite Led Zeppelin album, but I don't know. It just, to me, doesn't rock my world the way a lot of these other tunes do. Although I love it, and listening to it right there sure sounded good. And there's so much, you know, the Lion Hammer of the Gods later became the title of that book by Stephen Davis.
So it was this kind definitely of has the mystical.
Yeah, it does.
It's got all that stuff.
We are your overlords.
Vikings and, you know, yes. I'd be curious on the individual list, how many of the young people pick this song? Because I think this might be why it's number one, but I don't know this, and maybe I'm totally off base.
One, two, three, four. Yes, they all four picked it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I think this song is still very popular today.
Mm.
And it got a lot of play with the latest Thor movie.
Oh, did it really?
Yes, it
did.
Okay.
Yeah.
It did. It was
that
huge
sense
on like the soundtrack and the big battle scene and everything, right? And I also think it has a sound to it that holds up today. You know what I mean? Like, I think a band could record that song today, and you'd be like, oh, yeah, that sounds very modern.
It's definitely a hard-driving rock song that goes with the superhero time we live in, right?
Yeah, and that riff is really pretty cool. You know,
It's epic. And, you know, I will say Nicole Kitchens, who's been on our show a couple times and is very much into Greta Van Fleet, her list was Misty Mountain Hop, Since I've Been Loving You, That's the Way, Immigrant Song was right
Since
there.
I've Been Loving You,
Rock and Roll, Battle of Evermore, Nobody's Fault But Mine, Custard Pie, Bring It On Home, and then weirdly, Southbound Suarez, which is a strange song. I believe it's on Presence, right?
I'm not sure.
I think it is.
is this the only song from three?
Yes.
Yes, it is.
It is.
Okay, that's
right. That's the way just missed out.
Yeah. That's surprising to me.
Yeah. And yeah. Tangerine was the one on that album that I thought might be in there because it is featured prominently in the movie, you know, the rock and roll movie that, you know, plays up on the young Cameron Crowe.
I mean, I think among the older, like the ones who we all voted for the older albums, three is the lowest rated of those first four.
Yeah,
four.
Like, that's my favorite. That's the thing. It's like back when we were probably in the thick of it, listening to those guys, three was the favorite for us.
That's right. It's always the one we started with.
So, Hey, Hey, What Can I Do is essentially
from this,
it was the B-side to Immigrant Song. So it was from the same sessions, I think, as Led Zeppelin 3, right? But that did not make the cut. So, but otherwise, you're right. I'm kind of surprised. I love that record.
So. Immigrant Song gave us Hey, Hey, What Can I Do? So I guess there's that.
There is that. Yeah, that same vintage.
It did make my list. I think so, right?
It did.
It just wasn't at the top.
That's right. It made the list. It wasn't on your list, Brad.
No, it was not.
Yeah.
It wasn't on yours, Patrick.
It was not. No.
Which one? Immigrant Song?
Yeah, was it on yours?
It was on mine. Okay. Yeah.
It was on Jim's. Yeah, I went for Out on the Tiles instead of that one.
To me, it's like sort of like, it's like epic Led Zeppelin. You know what I mean? Like once you embrace that, it's like got all, you know, like I said, the Vikings and all this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. If you can like go with it and you're like, this is pretty awesome.
Yeah, right? you know? Yeah, it's like Field of Dreams. If you buy into that movie at the beginning, then you're all the way there.
The other pop culture reference to Immigrant Song was in the movie School of Rock.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Jack Black.
You're right. He there's a scene where he's like blasting it in the van. There's like kids in the van, whatever, and he's sort of like singing it along, like sort of turning back to them, and he's like singing the song and everything. So again, I think for a lot of kids today, this is like the Led Zeppelin song.
Good
you know
point.
What I mean? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And in fact, if you ever get a chance, I think it's on YouTube. There's like a scene. Led Zeppelin did not for a long time license a lot of their music, or if they did, I guess it was like super, super expensive, right? That was really hard to get. Although they did use rock and roll in like a car ad at one point.
Yeah,
like
I remember that.
It was kind of weird. But anyway, there's a little clip you can watch on YouTube of Jack Black basically making a pitch. They filmed like a pitch to Led Zeppelin to let them use Immigrant Song in the movie.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh,
and it's really funny.
Your song would be the hard rock and cherry on the top of the mountain.
He's, again, sort of embracing the idea of this song as like, you know, we're going to hold up our goblet of rock and we will, you know, drink from it. And we, you know, it's great. Yeah. All right. Well,
thanks, everybody.
This has been fun. Mm-hmm. Patrick bought all the records here. So
yeah, we got the vinyl.
We can play those now.
I'm missing Coda. I do need to pick up a copy of that. After John Bonham passed away and the band came to an end in 1980, they just took whatever they had left, which wasn't much. And put through that together for Coda. So a forgettable record, obviously not one they ever sort of intentionally planned to put out. But and then the band was repackaged multiple times with box sets and that thing called, what was it called? The Mothership or whatever that was, where they kind of re-EQ'd some of, you know, remixed them and things like that. There's anything left, I doubt it. I think we've kind of heard everything, the original Carnation.
And it, I mean, what else is left to do? Yeah. I mean, they did great work. And, you know, if you're gonna do a top 10 ranking of the best rock and roll bands, they have to be in there. Mm-hmm. I think they're one of the most influential. And, you know, I think they're one of the greats. I can't believe it's been 50 years since that first one came out.
And we should say, rest in power, John Bonham.
Rest in power, John Bonham.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. This has been fun. So, I don't know what we're doing next week. This is taking a lot out of me, so I have to relax.
Yeah,
and
you
got to
get pretty well, sleep recover all weekend. I know, and then we got to figure out what we're actually going to do beyond that.
Yes.
Well, let me know anytime you want to talk about old bands.
Yes.
That seems to be, you know, that's the only area that I can join you guys.
No, that's not true.
No, it is true. I'm going to go and admit that it's true.
No, sorry, Patrick. It is true.
Kevin is true. Don't try to make me feel better, Patrick. It's absolutely true.
Kevin is the classic rock guy. That's not a bad thing.
But I will also jump to Kevin's defense here and say that, you know, he was telling us earlier about Trombone Shorty playing. Yeah. So you got that New Orleans.
The Shorty's
right?
Awesome.
If you've never seen Trombone
Shorty play live, go. He puts on a great show.
Especially if Parliament's opening up, which is pretty cool.
Oh, my God.
So.
Parliament's opening.
Yeah, Parliament opened for it. It was fantastic.
Crazy. All right, let's get out of here.
Guys.
Please let us know what you think we forgot on the Led Zeppelin list. You can call
612-440-1984
or email rock@suburbspod.com or hit us up on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram @suburbspod.
Please do.
Let's get out of here. It's Rock in the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
I'm Kevin Spain.
And I'm Brad Mailer.
We'll talk to you guys next week.
Thanks, guys.
I think going back to what we were saying earlier about how Paige, you know, sort of had all the right guys in this band, I don't think he could never get that sound back. And yeah. That was the problem. I think mm-hmm. later on he would play with other guys, but it wasn't right. Yeah. Like it couldn't come together.
It didn't work with David Coverdale.
Right.
Let's put it that way.
Yes.